This is the voice of Contract Management, presented by the law firm of Kroll & Mooring, exclusively for NCMA. Stay up to date on all things contract management, 5 minutes at a time. Our team at Kroll & Mooring presents these podcasts to keep you up to speed on a bi-monthly basis. We will cover everything from regulatory updates to crucial changes that impact the government contracting community.
We are your co-hosts for this edition, Peter Ayer and Alex Schaefer. Today, we're going to focus on the major developments regarding tariffs. On Friday, in a 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court held that the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, or IEEPA, does not authorize the president to impose tariffs during peacetime national emergencies. The case stemmed from President Trump's invocation of IEEPA to levy tariffs on imports from Canada, Mexico, China, and other countries, citing national emergencies. The challengers argued, and the Supreme Court agreed, that IEEPA does not delegate tariff authority to the president. The decision is obviously very important. What's also very important is how the White House reacted. That reaction includes imposition of a variety of new tariffs. So to break it all down, I'm thrilled to be joined by my partner, Alex Schaefer. Let's start with the decision itself. Alex, from your standpoint, what are the key headlines?
Well, thanks, Peter. I think you've captured a number of them, but the most important one is, of course, that the so-called Liberation Day tariffs have been struck down. Part of what's interesting about the decision is that they were struck down on statutory grounds rather than constitutional grounds. You had some justices concluding that the IEEPA statute simply doesn't allow for the deployment of tariffs, others concluding that the statute is ambiguous. But given that it is ambiguous, in light of the court's major questions doctrine, which suggests that when there's a massive power being deployed by the executive, there needs to be very specific statutory language that the executive can invoke to do so. And they found that there wasn't here. You also had dissents essentially arguing that this is an interference with the president's power to conduct foreign affairs. The majority clearly didn't find that compelling. But so in a 6-3 vote, the tariffs have been struck down.
Alex, are we talking about all tariffs, or when we talk about IEEPA tariffs, how is that different from the universe of tariffs that you are dealing with?
We're not talking about all tariffs. In the last couple of administrations, there have been a number of different tariff levers that have been pulled, and a number of those are not subject to this ruling. So, for example, the national security tariffs that have been deployed with respect to aluminum and steel and articles of aluminum and steel and auto parts and so on, those are not affected by this ruling, nor are the so-called Section 301 tariffs that were first deployed against imports from China all the way back in 2017 and remain in effect today. And finally, the president, with respect to the new tariffs, has excluded some of those other regimes. So, for example, they've said as to the new tariffs, products that are or may become subject to Section 232 tariffs are not 232 tariffs are not included. So this is really limited to the IEEPA tariffs. And so that's the reciprocal tariffs that were announced on Liberation Day, the upcharges to those tariffs that were deployed with respect to Brazil and India because of its imports of China oil, and the what they called the fentanyl tariffs that were announced with respect to Canada and Mexico and China. That's the universe.
Got it. Okay. So then focusing specifically on the IEEPA tariffs that were struck down, one question I know you're getting is what did the Supreme Court say about refunds? What can you tell us about that question?
So this is an interesting question. For better or worse, the Supreme Court's opinion didn't say anything about refunds. Now, that's in large part because the issue wasn't really before the court. I won't go too deeply into the history, but the VOS selections plaintiffs, which was the outfit that brought the case that ultimately was found to be the jurisdictionally correct one, meaning it emerged out of the U.S. Court of International Trade, which the Supreme Court held is the right place for these sorts of cases to be. That plaintiff asked for three things. They asked for declaratory relief, meaning a judgment that the tariffs are illegal. They asked for a permanent injunction against the collection of these tariffs, and they asked for damages in the form of a repayment of all the duties that they had deposited. And in the original case, the CIT gave them the first two things, but never said anything one way or another about refunds. It then moved on to the Federal Circuit, which affirmed the CIT, but and asked that the CIT reconsider the injunction part to be in line with CASA and that line of cases on nationwide injunctions. And then it went to the Supreme Court, which affirmed the Federal Circuit. So as it's gone through the process, none of the courts have yet grappled overtly with what should happen as a matter of refund process. And so that's something that's going to have to be worked out in the coming months.
Super interesting. So from your standpoint, from the perspective of refunds, what are the potential paths forward? And part and parcel of that, recognizing that sort of every situation is going to be different, and obviously we're not providing specific legal advice, what generally would you share as observations about steps to preserve refunds, monitoring liquidation of entries, administrative challenges, all that universe that goes to the bottom line question of, if I paid IEEPA tariffs, can I seek a refund? Should I seek a refund? Can I get a refund? What would you say on that, Alex?
Well, let me take the last first. I think the answer to can I and should I seek a refund is yes. The question is, what procedural levers does one pull in order to be able to do that? And some of that is going to get worked out over the coming weeks. But in asking the question, you've answered it in part, which is to say that much of this keys to the so-called liquidation of import entries. And that's nothing more than a sort of formalistic trade nerdy term that means the finalization of import entries. The Court of International Trade has already announced, and the government has agreed, that the court has the authority to reliquidate already liquidated entries, meaning entries that have already become final, in order to issue refunds if it concludes that that's the right thing to do. The next question is going to be, well, what about entries that were made prior to the Supreme Court's decision, but have not yet become final? And that's where, frankly, the bulk of the money is in most of these instances. And the short answer is we don't yet know what the procedural mechanism is going to be by which those refunds get granted. But we're going to be pushing for the Justice Department and CBP to come up with something relatively quickly. And so in the meantime, we strongly recommend that however people go about seeking those refunds, that they closely track that liquidation process and that entry process and monitor what their entries are, where they've paid, when they've paid, and what the status is, so that as it becomes clear, it starts to come into resolution over the coming weeks, what the right procedural move is, folks will be able to be nimble.
Got it. And I know, Alex, fair to say that you and the other trade colleagues are working with hundreds of companies on this as we speak. Is that sort of a fair way to think about it?
That's exactly right. We have several hundred companies who have already filed claims in the Court of International Trade. We have many more who are actively considering doing so now that the Supreme Court has come up with its ruling. And so we represent people in all sorts of different points in the process, and we're happy to help advise or assist as needed.
Great. So now let's pivot to what turned into a very busy afternoon after the Supreme Court issued the opinion. So it looks like there were a series of executive orders that were unwinding IEEPA tariffs, imposing new tariffs, looked like a lot of activity. Can you walk through what the current state of play is and what changed through those executive orders?
Sure. In essence, you know, part of the difficulty that the administration encountered in litigating the IEEPA tariffs was the fact that IEEPA doesn't actually say anything about tariffs. It certainly doesn't explicitly allow for the use of tariffs. And much of the litigation was about whether that authority could be read into the statute. But the fact is that there are a number of other statutory provisions that do explicitly allow for the use of tariffs. One of those is so-called Section 122. And that's what the president has invoked in the wake of the Supreme Court's ruling. After expressing some disappointment with the Supreme Court and its ruling, the president said, well, here's what we're going to do. We are going to splice in initially 10%, now since raised to 15%, tariffs under Section 122. Now, that statutory provision allows for the deployment of tariffs where there is a large and serious, but functionally a trade deficit issue. So that's what the administration is citing to. That provision allows for tariffs of up to 15%. There are some limiting factors, though. One is that it's good only for 150 days. And after that, one requires an effectively a renewal from Congress to continue. It's not at this point clear whether Congress has much of an appetite to grant that sort of an extension. So we'll have to see what happens at the end of that 5-month period. The other issue is that there are a number of trading partners with whom we run trade surpluses. I'm thinking, for example, of Australia and Switzerland, just to name a couple. Difficult to anticipate how the administration will defend asserting a balance of payments issue with trading partners with whom we run a surplus. So we'll just have to see how that plays out. But the short version is The administration is splicing in 15% tariffs under Section 122 to act as surrogates for the IEEPA tariffs that they had used to this point.
Got it. Alex, all super helpful. I know you are busy. Thank you for taking some time to talk with us today. We will close out this edition.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of Contract Management, brought to you by Kroll & Mooring exclusively for NCMA. Stay tuned for our next episode as we continue to discuss all things government contracting. In the meantime, explore your learning opportunities at www.ncmahq.org/coursecatalog.